it's class time, and you're locked in. The pre-reading from last night made the knowledge of this lecture hit just right. You head back home, and later that evening, your mind buzzes with an idea, while, you guessed it, in the shower. A venture that could change everything for your career. But then doubt creeps in. Could you juggle school and a startup? Was this the right time? As you sketch plans in the margins of your notes, you wonder, what if this was your moment? Today, we are joined by incoming third-year student at the University of Pretoria and founder of the journal entry, Xavier Prospero. And we talk about his journey starting up his own venture, an accounting and business newsletter during his studies. We also chat about the 7-11-4 rule of brand building, the PIE success model, the dark truth behind digital marketing gurus like Iman Gadzi and Luke Belmar, ethics in accounting versus ethics in other industries, and more. I hope you enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA, Happy New Year! Guys, is that appropriate? I don't know. Like, should I be, you know, the horns with the New Year celebration? I don't know. You see, this is the problem. You guys still haven't sponsored me that board. So now we can't be having CFOs on in future, guys. And I don't know how to use this board. But guys, it's just such an amazing time. It's a new beginning. It's a moment to briefly look back and then look forward to all of the great new things, all of these amazing new lessons, new friendships, new seeds, as I call them, to plant in 2025. Literally, I just wanted to say, have a phenomenal 2025. Set goals. Goals are so important. There's just scores and scores of literature on why goal setting is so important. So just have goals, less resolutions, more specific, you know, smart goals. There's a lot more on goals that we can actually chat about in future, but just look forward and have a fantastic 2025. And of course, enjoy the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inspire, empower, and inform the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, we're joined by an ambitious young student, not just any student, a student of action. He's currently a second-year student, as of this recording, of course, in accounting sciences at the University of Pretoria, while also helping other aspiring accounting professionals, bringing brevity to an inherently complex industry through the journal entry. That is his weekly newsletter, where he keeps students up to date on current affairs through the lens of all things accounting, finance, and business. Most importantly, he enjoys gym, some rugby, some football, some video games, and being around his friends in his spare time. We're joined by Xavier Prospero.
Thank you for having me.
Xavier, brother, how are you, man?
Good, thanks. Hey, and yourself?
I'm excited. I like the fact that you're a creator.
Mm.
I see a lot of you and me. Because, yeah, we're creating, yeah, in this space of, you know, like, in the bean counter space.
Yeah.
Typically, we're meant to be
the boring
bean counters.
Space,
The
stereotypically boring
the
space.
The stereotypically, but obviously, yeah. When you're a CA, you're more than that.
Yeah. Obviously. You can be different.
You can.
Yeah.
What would you say inspired you to be different within?
Well, first of all, that whole module change at UP, bringing in that business acumen module, it's very current affairs based.
Mm.
So it was a shower thought the one day. I was staying in res, walked to the shower, put my slops on, don't want to get the athlete's foot, so made sure always shower slops. And then I'm in the shower and I was like, you know, there's so many firms that come to the university and pay so much to advertise and do this and do that. If you could just get a newsletter that brought in current affairs, eventually you could build it to the point where those firms can just advertise in your newsletter.
Mm.
And they don't have to go through that hassle of hosting all these things on campus. because also students aren't very engaged with the stuff that happens on campus. I mean, you can have a career day and you'll get some students going, and there'll be one or two that aren't interested.
Yeah.
But then a lot of them will just go for the free pens and the pencils and the free hat, the Ned Bank hat that I missed out on last year. So it's like you can engage them a lot more through that, especially if you're using another student. They are more likely to be engaged with someone that they are studying with and someone that's going through it at the moment. Someone that they can like associate a personal brand to. They're so much more likely to be engaged with that than some firm event where they give you a donut and a free hat. You know?
That's huge, man. Like understanding how... So you're speaking about how when spaces become saturated in the marketing side, you start to become noise if you don't do anything differently, which is now with an accounting journal, with the journal entry, with an accounting newsletter, you're already, if you know you are a particular firm, you're going to differentiate yourself. There was even this really interesting, I don't know where the study's from. I need to start knowing where these ideas come from, but it's basically the 7-11-4 rule. Which is this idea that I learned from Daniel Priestley. He's like an entrepreneur in Australia, I think. He wrote a couple books, and basically it says that if you can have your brand or yourself interact with someone in one place, in seven different places, in one place seven times, in four different locations, and have it over, I think, like a period of 11 somethings. It's basically just, the basic principle is having multiple touch points with your people, with your market. If you're a firm, in order to build that brand, in order to build that awareness around your products and your various offerings, you need to have multiple touch points. I even think to a particular program that I've chatted with many accounting students on. I'm not going to plug them on the spot for free. They need to come on and they must share their story. But I remember people saw them at the one fair and they said, yeah, I saw them then, but like, yeah. And then they saw them in another environment. And then they saw one of their trainees that I had on the podcast. They heard about them. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And now they're actually applying and they're going through the application process. So 100%, man, like this is a space, like in the journal entry, that students are more likely to engage.
Yeah. Also on that, I was lucky enough to attend that leadership program at Miller Johannesburg. Obviously because I'm signed with them and they do my bursary, whatever. So the CEO was chatting to us and actually he said, it's a little like percentage pie chart that he uses. He hasn't coined a term yet, but he says you've got your performance, your image, and your exposure. And your performance will be 20% and your image will be 20%. So that makes 40% of your career and your success, let's say. Obviously, it's a bit of an anecdote, but so 40% image and performance, that'll determine how successful you are. The rest is all about your exposure. Because if you aren't seen doing well and you aren't seen being the person that you are, then you're never going to get anywhere. Because who's going to reward you for seeing that if no one's seen you do the work? No one's seeing you perform the work well. So you've got to be good enough to do the work. But more importantly, you need to get seen doing the work well. That's what he said.
So you're saying 40% performance and image?
Yeah. And then the other 60% is just your exposure. That's also like with this podcast and my newsletter, that's exposing you to people. That's opening doors for you. Yeah, they can come read the podcast, listen to the podcast and read the newsletter, and they'll be like, yeah, this is good content. But let's say I'm a firm hiring, and I've seen you with your podcast, I've seen you pop up here, I've seen this guy talk on the podcast, this guy talk about the podcast, this guy's mentioned this, just students like listens to it all the time. I am so much more likely to hire you because I've been exposed to you, then maybe the guy that's 100% perfect at doing the work every single time, just because I don't actually know that he's 100% perfect at doing the work, you know?
And also, it a huge thing that it showcases, which is invaluable in today's very volatile, uncertain, ambiguous, and complex world, initiative. It's clear when you're someone who started something, you have the get up and go to start a project within the firm.
Yeah.
To go and pursue a particular thing and do it. You know?
Break barriers.
Pick up the phone and call.
Hop in the deep end.
Hop in the deep end. Dude, okay. Let's go back. Where would you say it started for you, this whole CA thing? Where did chartered accountancy come into the picture?
So it was always... I always enjoyed business. Uh-huh. At school, I always saw, I think it's very important, but I do see the flaws that the school system has. Especially, I think, high school, prep school, that's a bit more refined and a bit more clear-cut on the purpose. University, I think, is an interesting topic because I think the system, to a large extent, is failing for the majority of majors. Obviously, you've got your top-tier majors, your finance, your doctors, your lawyers, your accountants, that your engineers, that'll go out and get a high-paying job. But that's a very like small subset of people. So I had my doubts about the whole system. So I was always interested in business. My dad always used to show me stuff. He was like on the whole dropshipping wave in like 2017.
That's crazy.
He was like, check this out. I was like, okay, Dad, I'll check it out. So I've always like been involved in that space and like followed that space. But then I was good enough at school that I could kind of like lay back a little bit on the studies and still get the marks, which I'm lucky about. Then my cousin actually suggested to me, he was like, just get a degree. You won't regret getting a degree.
What was your cousin doing?
He studied, economics.
Okay.
But he's doing insurance now.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, look, like I know you're good at accounting. I know it kind of just clicks for you. Just like have a look at it. Just have a look at studying accounting. You won't regret having a degree. And if you want to do your own business, that's such a good standpoint for you to have that so many people recognize it, that it'll build on your own business. So I said, okay, I'll keep it an eye out for it. That was probably about grade 10, grade 11.
Okay.
And then matric year came and did some job shadowing through my teacher. Obviously not through her, but like she's set me up with some places.
She connected you.
My teachers were also a big part in why I chose accounting. Always had great accounting teachers that were like...
How lucky, eh?
Really like adamant on focusing on the students and like progressing them, you know.
But like did they temper a little bit of your expectations around accounting? Because accounting in high school and accounting now...
Yeah, look, it's very different.
Very different.
Yeah. So, to an extent, they did. But I did some job shadowing through them, got offered a bursary. And then at that point, I was kind of like, okay, I've got the bursary to study. My dad was actually just starting a new business. So, like...
Your dad's very entrepreneurial, eh?
Yeah, he is. He always has been. He worked in corporate for a very long time. But he never really, like... It wasn't his thing.
So, he knew he wanted to start
business. So, he started his own business around the time. And obviously, the bursary then was really helpful because starting that new business, sometimes, you know, you have to cut back. You're unsure, like, what's going to be happening. So, it was a bit of, like, an unsure time. So, it's like, you know, there's so many things pointing me towards accounting. I mean, I've got this opportunity. I can't say no. Let me do it. Then went into that.
You started.
So, yeah, that's how it came about.
You had, similar to me, so when I wanted to drop out, it wasn't just wanting to drop out. I had a vision about what I was going to do, and I did it in that time, the 2 months that I was ready to dip. But you had a brush with all these online financial gurus. Was that around first year?
So before first year and then going into first year.
I can see there was something in, because even the decision to go with accounting, it was like you had to weigh your options. What was that period and what was that experience?
So obviously Iman Gadzi, Luke Belmar, all those guys, they say don't go to university, just focus on your business.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had the opportunity to, so I was like, let me just try both. Let me just see if I can balance it out.
Mm-mm.
Started working, had a mentor who actually worked really close with him on, stayed in Cape Town. His dad's also big, banking C-suite member. Mm-hmm. So he's got like the platform to do the business. Mm. So this guy was mentoring me, obviously doing the digital marketing space,
because
that was the whole
the SMMA Iman thing.
Preaches the SMMA, do that.
Yeah.
Got into the space, and like I saw the vision, but it wasn't so clear because it was so saturated, and that like the actual advice these guys give is very good, but I heard a saying the one time, and it was, just because someone is trash, it doesn't mean their values are, and their advice is. So that's kind of like where I see them.
Oh, damn, yeah.
Because hearing the back end through this mentor that's worked really close with them, they do a lot of stuff that they preach against.
Mm.
And that's kind of where some questionable things.
Yeah,
so it's a bit of a character mismatch almost.
Mm.
They've got like this whole personality online, and the actual person, they're always extremely different. So then the vision became a bit blurry in that spot. Did it a little bit. Was still studying. I was doing okay. Wasn't getting like 6 marks or whatever. Like 6 is in cricket is what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't.
You weren't tonking it out.
I wasn't banging it out the park.
You weren't banging it out the
but
park.
But I was comfortable. And then I just kept on building, and I kept on hearing all these things about these guys and how this mismatch here, and this guy doesn't actually like make his money doing this. He's just got all his money from that, but he just preaches this online so he can sell a course. And then at that point I was like, okay, you know what? I don't like this space anymore.
Mm.
Let me focus on what I'm studying, because I know I can do good at it, and I see the vision more clearly there.
Yeah.
And also I'm a big believer that your conscious aligns with what you want. So the universe will align you with opportunities, with where your conscious is, and with what you're trying to get to. So that's the whole manifesting thing. I'm also very religious, which plays into that. So I sat there one day and I'm thinking, I've got this opportunity to study fully paid. Like, it's obviously something's pushing me that direction. My cousins pushed me that direction. I'm good at accounting. Like, I was good at accounting in high school. I'm still passing that and like not doing that much work. Let me just go that way. That's where the universe wants me to go. That's where God wants me to go. Let me just go. And then started focusing on that. Then the newsletter idea came about, and second year started, put the newsletter into place, and this year's been a breeze.
Huge thing for me is to be careful not to make decisions based off of things you don't fully know. I think that's a huge lesson that I'm hearing from your story and that I see from my story. I was making a big decision, or quote unquote big decision. I think it wasn't life changing type of big. I could probably still get in. I did well in my trick, so I could get into these programs afterwards. But I'm making big decisions without being fully informed of what I'm missing out on and what I'm getting into. So when you just look at the diamonds and gold and all these flashy things of these guys online, what you're missing, and which is so amazing that you had, is a real perspective. That mentor of yours, oh my goodness, that was a blessing from God, because that guy gave you the real vision. Like, he gave you the untempered. He said,
look, this is the real deal. This is what you're getting into.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys are fakes. In the space, a lot of guys are fakes. It means fewer guys are as successful as you think. And, which is a big one that you mentioned, fewer guys are successful in the way that aligns with you. Because they have to do it through deplorable means. You have to lie to everyone, claiming that you're successful to be successful.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's not a very ethical, like, trajectory. And I think it's very much against everything that becoming a CA is all about. It's being a CA. If you're the guy who's holding the cash, you are the lifeblood of the company. If you're lying to the people, if you're the guy who goes and presents the financials, if you're lying to the investors, everything is going to go crumbling to the ground.
It's going
to
be a nightmare.
A marketer can lie. marketer can afford you.
Yeah, and they can pass it off as salesmanship as well.
You see.
But if you are cooking the books and this figure's like doing something there, that one's doing something there, that whole thing is not going to stay there for very long. That whole business is going to be probably wrapped up in a couple of years.
That's
if you've
the
got
thing.
Your guy lying, your accounting guy lying. It's just not going to work.
So, and as you said, I'm also religious as well myself. And there's, and even from taking it out of a religious realm, I think there is something powerful about operating with the unconscious in line.
Mm.
Because there's the conscious mind where there's thoughts and there's things that are happening that you are have control over, which is like the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
But then there's the things that are below in the water, right? That you can't see, but is the main mass of everything, and that's your unconscious. That has to align, because that's the thing that's going to drive your actions.
Mm.
It's the thing that's going to drive. If you're in that business, in that marketing, whatever, and you feel like you are fraud, and you have not grown up in a household where lying is okay.
Mm.
You've never grown up as a liar, and now you're having to lie every day. Or in order to be successful, you need to choose between lying or not. You're not going to be putting in the same purpose and passion that you do in a space like this.
Yeah.
You know? Dude, okay. Have you, say, now that you've been through 2 years of the course, what would you say has significantly changed about your perspective in the CA realm?
So first year, I think, is a bit different because mm-hmm. it's more of like an intro year. Second year, I didn't realize how like theoretical everything actually is.
Okay.
A lot of people say, do accounting, you're good at numbers. And then you get those IFRS standard books. And that is just words and words and words and theory questions. And so there's a lot more theoretical application than you'd expect.
Mm. when you get to third year, boss, there's less, it's not even theoretical. It's not even just about applying words and putting them into numbers. It's literally about taking numbers and putting them into words. I feel like that's the... So from first year, I'm not even going to... like, it's just introduction.
Mm.
You're just wetting your feet. A little bit of FRK, which does get you away.
Yeah, get you.
But second year, you're starting the real thing. That's where you take words, the standards, you put them in numbers. Third year, you're starting to put the numbers. Now, sometimes you have to calculate things as well, but you take the numbers that you have calculations, and now you got to analyze them.
Mm.
Now you got to interpret them. You got to discuss them. And then CTA, it goes like times 10, like just everything.
Yeah, just everything.
More words.
It's like an avalanche.
Yeah, like an avalanche.
Also, in practice,
mm-hmm.
I think there's so many different routes that you can actually go with the CA that you aren't exposed to until you're actually doing it.
Mm.
And I think that could also be a reason why a lot of people don't go into this, because they think, okay, accountant, he's going to be sitting there doing journal entries and bookkeeping and auditing and all the like really well-known stuff. But that's not the case. You can do so many different things.
Mm. I think there was this paper, I haven't read it, but I remember seeing it in a particular presentation. 70% of CAs are in commerce.
Mm.
70%. So when you don't walk in knowing like exactly how vast this whole thing is, you might be confined in your mind to think, and this is what happened to me. I did VAC work and I was like, I don't know. But really, CA is not one thing. CA is not a job title.
Mm.
it's not a job title. It's way more, which is, yeah, man, it's powerful.
Mm.
It's powerful to have that broadened sort of perspective.
Yeah. Like the other day I was going through LinkedIn, suggesting me a bunch of people that went to the same school as me. And I'm looking, and a lot of them are CAs, obviously, also because then it aligns with the algorithm. And I'm looking, this guy's in private equity, that guy's investment banking, this guy's trading commodities, this guy's got a venture capital business, this guy's doing this guy's gone into IT. Thinking, the chances you have of ending up somewhere that isn't where you think it's going to be because you're a CA, it isn't good. Like, you think you're going to be in audit. The chances you have of ending up somewhere else are like astronomical.
Huge, bro. Sure. And it's, I think it's so important for us. And that's why hopefully through the podcast we can show this. There are CAs, even trainees, that have businesses that are in private equity, that are in social entrepreneurship, that are in NPOs, that are in these huge corporates. Like, the CA is everywhere. And so you've got to now, I think, it's somewhat, even for me, I think, a moral obligation. You've got to take your heart. You've got to take your heart and find your dream. You can bloody find your dream through this profession. Because the brighter you shine, the brighter everyone shines. The brighter Saika shines, the brighter this country shines. Shine, you know, find that thing. Have a passion for where you're going. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dude, the journal entry, what is it? Why would an accounting student benefit from this type of service or newsletter?
So this is my time to shine.
It's your time to shine.
This is my
exposure.
Self-plug. This is the exposure. So the journal entry is a accounting-based newsletter. It is supposed to be brief, easy to read, non-complex. Obviously, if you're in the space, you'll understand what it's talking about. If you have never heard finance, then you aren't going to understand it. But everyone listening to this will have. The idea behind it was bring current affairs to students that maybe aren't so like out there. So a lot of the stuff I do is actually on mergers and acquisitions.
That's a problem.
I enjoy that space as well. And then how those affect the industry. But there's tons of things in there. I did the two-pot retirement savings.
I did see that. That was interesting.
Did an article on that. And it's not super, super in-depth. Eventually, I want to like start bringing in some super, super deep case studies. But that'll come with time. The idea right now is, if you're a student and you don't know what's going on in your industry, you're already at a disadvantage. So you got to know what's going on in the industry, even if it just gets you thinking about talking points. And you can sit there in a lecture and you've read the article the day before and something comes up in the lecture and you think, how does this relate to what happened? Then you're already progressing yourself. You're already engaging with the content in the lecture, in your mind, thinking about how it affects something in the industry. You're going to remember that content so much more.
More connections, more connections. And I think we spoke about this just before this, but I think also one of the great failures of some teachers is that they don't know how to bring their words to life. Meaning they don't know how to take the experience that every single CA lecturer has. They're CAs.
Yeah.
They're literally CAs. Taking the experience in your mind and giving it to the people in front of you, giving it to the students, because there is a real world application for that working capital management scenario. There's a real world implication for that capital allowance, whatever. There's a lot of stuff, and you'll find them in the accounting entry. But I just wanted to even raise some of these topics that you've been going through. I mean, I remember the one about the cocoa prices?
Yeah, so I'm a big coffee lover.
Yes.
And I saw this article about how the price of coffee is actually just skyrocketing because of global warming to an extent. And then also we've got our geopolitical factors, like the trade routes are being disrupted because of the wars going on. And that's actually making coffee prices go up. And you might not feel it like in the moment. But the other day I actually went to get a coffee at somewhere that I go all the time. And I saw the price on the board and I thought, what? Like, since when?
Yeah.
This place is going to make me go broke. And then it like clicked. Lavazza, which is an Italian coffee brand. It's a lot of the like higher end places in South Africa will import it and use their coffee. Their CEO actually said that the price is at like, I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was a 15-year high. To manufacture the coffee. Yeah.
For all the coffee lovers, this is such useful information. This is such useful information. So now, how did you apply it? How did you sort of connect it with the accounting journal?
So I brought it in.
The journal entry. Why am I saying this? You know, in my head, I say accounting newsletter.
I know what you mean.
With the journal entry.
So I'm trying to remember now what the actual talking points were, but I know it was about timing markets and understanding trade routes and balancing your, if you're importing, obviously you need to be aware that there's risk with that.
I think the thought that came to mind when I was reading it was working capital management, inventory management specifically. So literally a topic that you may have already started, but you'll do it in third year again, is around timing of when you order stock and also how your working capital capital arrangements are. So your debtor days need to coincide in order to manage inventory, cash flow with your debt, with your inventory days, with your debtor days.
And your creditor terms.
And your credit, all these things. All these various things that you've gotta, and if the coffee prices skyrocket, then that's gonna affect your working capital cycle. Proper stuff. And there was also this other one on Capitec.
Yeah, so they're trying to disrupt the business loan space right now. The same way that they've kind of done with their retail banking is, obviously they've got millions and millions and millions of customers. I'm pretty sure they're the most subscribed bank in South Africa. And that's the approach they're trying to take with the business loans. They're trying to really make it easily accessible for businesses. Touch of a button on your phone, digital platform, and just bring out all that complexity, make it easier to get funding, helps businesses, helps them make their money, helps employees, well, potential employees, helps create jobs. If there's more businesses that can actually obtain funding, that's going to help everyone else in that community that's maybe looking for a job.
It's so interesting, like the Capitec, just the model that they were founded on. Like they, all the banks in some way, they were, let's call a spade, they were only servicing the people that can afford.
Yeah.
But Capitec said, no, man, there's a whole market of people who quote unquote can't afford. Let me service them. And now they've got, literally, they're the most subscribed bank.
Yeah.
And now they're even going to be subscribed. They're even going to be servicing the businesses that typically wouldn't get funding.
Yeah.
Do you know how crazy that is? Because there's this book that my father just got me. It's called Casinomic Revolution. So there's a whole informal sector in South Africa that the formal, that the statistics don't actually capture. And it's huge, Xavier, like it's huge. And we still haven't captured it. We still haven't formalized it because when things get to a certain size, we need to start having more organization, more formalization. A Capitec is the bank that's going to be servicing these gussy, mafias.
And look, there is risk associated with that. So that for was sure. One of the points.
High risk, yeah.
But sometimes that risk is worth taking. And usually when it is worth taking, you'll see they might step into that zone. And then you'll see all the other banks come. But at that point, Capitec's already got so much of that power, that potential market space, that there's only so much left for all the other banks. Unless Capitec's service is just really bad. Which I can't speak on, obviously. But that'll have to be something that we see. Because if your service is extremely bad, then the other banks are going to come in and kill you. Look, they're going to steal all those customers from you. But
dude, banks suck though. Their service.
That is
banks
true.
Customer service.
It's kind of the devil you know, or the devil you don't. So I see what you mean. But like, considering that they are such a big bank already, they've obviously got systems and standard operating procedures in place that they will make it work. And they will probably retain a good portion of their customers.
They've definitely got a strategic foot. They've got a strategic foot forward. Okay, if you had a crystal ball in front of you, Xavier.
Yeah.
Crystal ball, we can see inside. It's murky, but it's starting to clear up. And we can see Xavier from high school, first year, way back. What would you tell him?
Do as many things as possible. If you do as many different things as possible, you are bound to find one thing that you stick with and that you want to follow. A lot of my friends took gap years and stuff and are changing degrees now. A lot of them went overseas. and like I'll have a chat to them sometimes, and they say to me, they're not really sure where they're going, what to do. Especially the ones that took gap years, they're like, now it's been this whole year that they haven't done anything. They're not sure if they want to study. They're not sure what they're going to do. And my advice to them was, do something. If it's not the right thing, do another thing. If it's not the right thing, do another thing. You have so much time ahead of you at this age. If you are 20, in your 20s, even late 20s, you still have so much time ahead of you. Even in your 30s, you have so much time ahead of you. You can make a big difference in a year if you just try one new thing every couple of months. And it, at some point, if you lay out all your cards on the table and you've done all these different things, there's one thing there that you're going to be like, that's the one that I want to do. That's what I want to chase. So that's my advice, is just keep doing different things.
I love that, dude. That's so perfect. Like, I even think about myself, about how I was doing a lot of things last year, trying so many different things. But over time, I was doing things that were giving me skills. And one day I'm learning how to sell and reach out to people. I have to do that in my podcast. One day I have to learn how to create automations for my systems. I do that every single day. I have to do audio production. I have to do video production. I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
In the thing that, as you said, you've found, the thing that you've picked, stuck with. That you've stuck with. Yes. Please, man, do everything. Guys, if you're not ready, please, let us a belief. Follow this. Go check out the accounting. Why do I keep saying this? It's because it's a journal.
It's because that's where the naming convention came from.
Yes, yes, it makes sense.
Journal entry isn't like an accounting journal.
The journal entry. Fantastic way to get your little bit of current affairs every week. It's a weekly accounting newsletter. It'll be linked in the show notes. I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Safia, thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.